Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Losses Above Replacement, the best baseball podcast to grace your ears. I am Alex Clark, and I am your host for today's production, joined today by our very own wild cards, Matthias Almakurasaki and Ryan Splash Potts. My main men, how are we doing on this fine, fine August evening?
You know, we're doing all right here. I went to a minor league baseball game last week, which was pretty fun, down on Coney Island. I am actually going to a major league baseball game, although I don't know if it's really major league. It's Mets versus Pirates on Wednesday. So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, we're just kind of chilling. My family's doing renovations on our apartment, so a lot of moving parts over here. But yeah, we're doing all right.
If you or a loved one has scored 51 runs in the last five games, you may or may not be the Atlanta Braves. They are vibing. You know, I went to a rage room with my friend the other day, and while we were driving over there, I put my phone in my pocket so we could talk. The Braves scored 8 runs in the 9th inning for some reason. Good job, everybody. The Falcons beat the Jets 21-3. So,
well, I would hope you score 8 runs. I hope you score 8 runs against Danny Mendick. I mean, that's like...
Look, the Braves have these comic acts when the other team has a position player. You have D. Strange Gordon hitting Travis d'Arnaud with about a 17-mile-per-hour fastball, and you have Anthony Rizzo striking out Frederick Freeman.
Oh, yes.
Those were, like, iconic moments in both of those seasons.
Really
so,
iconic moments.
I don't know what the iconic position player moment is this year. I guess outside of Isaiah Kiner-Falefa being the first Yankee pitcher to hit a home run since the institution of the designated hitter, but... that's not Braves related.
Yeah, fair enough. Like, I'm doing all right. I just got a new window today, so I am very happy about that. That's something we've been working on for a while now. But other than that, I am just a little disappointed in my abs, not going to lie. I was there for King Felix's induction, and it was an amazing, amazing time to watch him get inducted to the Mariner Hall. And the fact that George Kirby threw 9 scoreless innings and walked away with a no decision is probably the best way he could have honored King Felix Hernandez. Anyway, regardless of all of that, we are going to be talking a little bit of Mariners today, but a little bit later on here. As today, as you might have guessed from the intro here, we're going to be talking about the wild card races, both in the American League and the National League, as both races are really starting to heat up a good bit, and it's been really interesting to follow. We're going to start off in the American League here. And the first team that we're going to talk about here from the wildcard slot, we're not going to talk about the Rays too much just because they're 5 games up at the time of recording this. They feel pretty locked in for the moment. We're going to talk about more teams that are on the fringe, have a little bit of a leeway, or trying to work their way back into it. And so we're going to start off here with my least favorite team, and I'm okay with fully publicly saying them. That is the Houston Astros. At the time of recording this, at a 68-52 record, 2 games into the wild, so 2 games up in the wild card race. Gentlemen, what do you guys think is going to happen with Houston? They did make some good moves at the deadline, including getting Justin Verlander back from the Mets. Is it going to be enough for them to clinch up a wild card spot, potentially maybe even take the AL West?
Yeah, I don't have any concerns with Houston. You look down the lineup and it's, you know, production everywhere. Chaz McCormick is having a great season. Jose Altuve is back. Jordan Alvarez is back. Kyle Tucker's an MVP candidate. Alex Bregman's having a solid season. Even John Singleton hit his first home run in 8 years. His first game back at Minute Maid Park in 8 years, he hits a home run. So
he had two home runs that game.
Yes, 2 home runs that game. And then you look at the pitching staff. It's very good as well. Framber Valdez, who was a no-hitter recently. Hunter Brown's been all right. Christian Javier. Fantasy disappointment, but he's been okay. You know, JP France has been one of the better rookies in the league. And then the bullpen, you have Presley, sub-3 ERA, Ryan Abreu, sub-3 ERA, Hector Neris has been very good. So if you're going on like a 1-10 scale of how confident you are they make the playoffs, the Astros are 9.5 for me.
Yeah, really? I feel like the Astros have been real good this year, and I feel like they haven't even hit their stride. I mean, they've lost Alvarez for a while. He's finally back. They lost Altuve for a while. I mean, he began the year on the injured list, then got injured again. It felt like for a while their pitching staff wasn't really at full strength. And I'll point out another weird thing about them. So they're 18-10 in the second half, which is great, or I guess 18-11 after today's loss. But they're only 1-7 in extra inning games this year, and they're only 500 in one run games. So, like I said, it feels like they haven't really hit their peak yet. And you know, 18-11 in the second half is very good, but feels like they've barely made a dent on the AL West because the Rangers have just been so good in the second half. So I think the Astros 100% are making the playoffs. My confidence level, honestly, is at about 10. I mean, look at, you know, all right, well, you lose Alvarez for a bit. Well, Chas McCormick has been surprisingly one of the best outfielders in baseball this year. Kyle Tucker has been amazing again. You know, I think the Astros are really, really good again. And this probably doesn't surprise people, but I think the Astros actually should be – I think the Astros will make the World Series again. I think this team is too good to not do that, and they've played very well against Texas head-to-head. So not only do I think Houston makes the playoffs, I think they make the World Series.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to agree with you there, Chief, but that's because it's me. But no, they've done well. I think they are probably going to make a wild card spot. And it's really because this team has a glut of depth. Like, it feels like every time someone goes down or someone underperforms, there's another player that steps right in and starts performing at the level to just keep winning. They're not doing it near as much as they have in past years, but the team is still undeniably good. I don't think I'm on the same train as you here, Mac, where I think they're going to go to the World Series. I think that they are going to compete for a wild card spot and probably end up getting that second one is probably my guess. But I'm going to throw a contingency here. I'm going to throw a contingency. I think that over the last month and a half here, a lot of it's going to come down to their starting pitching, which has been very good. I mean, Framber Valdez has been one of the best pitchers in baseball. He's sort of no-hitters a little bit ago. Like, him with Verlander, just those two together, just those two, make a dominant 1-2 punch. And that's not even including everyone else and then their offense that has been playing at a really strong clip. So I think what's going to happen here is that if the pitching starts to falter even a little bit, I could see them starting to fall. I don't know. Call it an intuition. Call it homerism. I'm not sure. But I feel that if one thing goes wrong for that team, just one thing, other pieces are going to start falling.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing, though, is that like you were saying, you know, the team has so much depth. I mean, even if a player – like one player struggles, they've had this like next man up thing going for them all year. I mean, look, Jose Abreu struggled for most of the year, and the rest of the offense I feel like has been able to pick him up. And you know, now Alex Bregman is heating up again. You know, I think, you know, getting Justin Verlander back really fortifies that core. They needed starting pitching insurance, and now they have it. And they, you know, get their future Hall of Famer back. Really, I think, you know, maybe this is just me thinking, but I feel like even put them in the ALS conversation, I feel like this might end up like the Mets and Braves last year, where it comes down to late the final weekend of the year. Now, granted, the Rangers and Astros only have one series left, and it's not the last weekend of the season, but I could see this going down to the wire. I think obviously the Rangers and Astros will both make the playoffs, but I think there's a very real possibility it comes down to the end of the season, and the Astros could even overtake Texas.
Yeah, I think there's a better chance the Astros win the division than they miss the playoffs.
I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see going forward. As now we're going to move off to we're going to move on to our next team here on the wild card spot. And this one, we're going to move across the border over to Canada, to Toronto. As right now, the Blue Jays have had a very interesting year. I think it's probably the best way to describe what they've done. Because, I mean, the AL East for the longest stretch of time was the division where every team was the home run hitter. Every team was – look, there's a legitimate chance we were going to have four teams from the AL West going to the playoffs. And to be fair, that's honestly still theoretically possible. But what I am going to say here is that with Toronto, there's a lot of interesting moving parts here. And I think, honestly, it's really going to come down to the pitching. Their offense has been absolutely, honestly, I'm going to say stellar. I know they haven't had the best numbers on a lot of things, but whenever you watch that team go to bats, it feels like they are just ready to score runs. They are ready to go and put a good number on your pitching staff. So I think it's going to really come down to the pitching staff for Toronto. Can they keep up? Can they keep going? We've seen a lot of good starts from Kikuchi. We've seen some bad starts from Kikuchi. We saw Manoah. I believe Manoah just got set down again. So now, what does that leave your bullpen with? What does that leave your starting pitching staff with? It's going to be interesting to see what they do in the next coming in the next go through here. But they've already dropped out of that third place spot once already this season. Within the last couple weeks, I should say. So, do they lose it again? I say they do.
You know, the thing with Toronto is, I'm going to make a Braves comparison here. You guys know how Ozzie Albies from the left side is perhaps the worst hitter in baseball, but from the right side, he's one of the best hitters in baseball. The Blue Jays do that same thing, but with or without runners in scoring position. So if they have runners on, runners in scoring position, they are abysmal. They are one of the least productive teams ever that's in a playoff spot. But when no one's on base, they're like prime Ichiro. And everyone's getting on base. Everyone's getting singles. Everyone's hitting. And it's bizarre. And I think that's going to swing the other direction the duration of the season. And I'm pretty confident. I'm more confident in the Blue Jays being able to hold onto the spot than one of the next couple teams chasing them down. Just the lineup depth here. You have a good hitter in Guerrero, Merrifield, Bichette, although he is on the IL right now. Chapman, Kiermaier, IL right now. Springer, Belt, Jansen, Alejandro Kirks hasn't been quite as good defense or hasn't been quite as good offensively, but he's been great defensively. Dalton Varsho, same thing. You know, both of them are in our Gold Glove list right now that I will post right as this podcast ends. But Alex, I agree with you that the pitching, it will boil down to the pitching. But again, this is a host of arms here. Kikuchi's been all right, and yes, he's going to probably fall apart. But Gausman has been great. Berrios has been pretty good. Bassett's been okay. And then you look at the bullpen. Tim Mays has been productive. Emi Garcia has been okay. Eric Swanson's been productive. Romano and Richards are on the IL right now. But overall, this is a very good staff, 113 ERA plus so far. And I think they'll hold on to the final spot.
The thing is, I feel like this is just a really inconsistent team. No, I feel like the Blue Jays, same could be said last year. There were times last year where it looked like, you know, the Blue Jays could beat anyone and everyone no matter what. And then they'll, you know, go on a really bad cold stretch. And then it's like, well, how the heck is this team going to make the playoffs even? And then this year, I mean, you know, they swept the Red Sox recently. They went 4 in a row, but then they, you know, drop consecutive series to the Guardians and Cubs. You know, and it's the thing is, I mentioned that sweep over the Red Sox. They're still only 11-23 against the AL East this year. So that means they're 55-31 against all their other opponents. I mean, if they match up against the non-AL East team, boy, they could probably make some noise in the playoffs. But you look at the rest of their season, they only have one more series against Boston and one more series against Baltimore, but they still have to face the Yankees for two series. And actually, come to think of it, their last 12 games are all against the Yankees and the Rays. And if they don't have a big enough lead by that point, there's a very real chance they miss the playoffs. And really, I feel like on offense, other than Bichette, who's hurt, Chapman and Merrifield, I've been kind of underwhelmed by their offense. I feel like Guerrero has not lived up to his potential this year. Springer has only a 101 OPS plus. Brandon Belt has been good, but you also look at his .388 batting average on balls in play and his 35% strikeout rate. Wonder how the heck he's going to maintain that. The Jays, I think of the teams, you know, I think there's definitely a higher chance that they miss the playoffs than the Astros do. So I'm actually going to say that the Jays don't make the playoffs. I'm not entirely sold on what they have going right now.
Yeah, and that's fair. I think that right now, a lot of it comes down to pitching. And they have, like you said, Smash, they do have some good arms in the pen. They have some good, some decent arms starting-wise. But just my own personal philosophy, and again, it's just however you think about baseball and that, I think that pitching wins championships and having a dominant rotation is what's going to get a lot of these teams, especially especially down the stretch into the playoffs. Speaking of a good rotation trying to get into the playoffs, we're going to talk about my Mariners now for a little bit. Because right now, at this exact moment, which, by the way, they are currently, so you can tell the time recording this, in the ninth inning and have just taken the lead over the Kansas City Royals. But going into this, they're a game and a half back of the next wild card spots. So the first team we're talking about that does not own a slot yet. Guys, Splash, I think I already know your answer. I might know yours too here, Mac. But so, Splash, let's start with you here. What do you think about the Mariners' chances of making the postseason again this year?
Let me put this into perspective that 2 weeks ago, the Mariners really weren't in this like intimate conversation. And this one illustrates how kind of fickle baseball is, that we could upload the podcast tomorrow, and by the time we're sitting down to record next week, the Mariners could go 1-6. And they could be totally out, or they could go 7-0 and be like the number 2 seed, or the 2 seed in the wild card race. So with that said, I think we are going to have a little bit of rose tinted glasses here because the Mariners have been so good the last couple weeks, because they've been, you know, really, really good since the break, since they, you know, had the Seawall trade. And you have these good things like Kyle Raleigh hitting a bunch of home runs. Julio Rodriguez is turning it around, you know, these positive things. And I look at the team, I look at the lineup, and I don't think the depth is quite there that Toronto has, that Houston has in particular. Even Boston, I think, is a deeper lineup. And we can flip it around and say the pitching staff, I would take Seattle staff over that. But I don't quite trust the back end like I do with Houston. Houston's been there, done that, seeming like every year. Boston has a veteran closer in Kenley Jansen, and Toronto... Toronto hits more. We'll say that. So I think out of this group, I think Seattle is probably the third best team, potentially the fourth best team, depending on if you get Boston in Boston, because they just don't lose sometimes, or if they're wearing yellow, then they're the best team in baseball. They have not lost while wearing yellow, but I like what Seattle is doing. I like the pitching staff, Kirby, Castillo, Gilbert, Miller, Wu. You get that, but I don't quite think they'll have enough horses to make the playoffs this year.
Well, I mean, I keep talking about the schedule for these teams, and I really think these next, I'd say, 2 weeks or so for Kansas City is really, you might look back at that at the end of the season and say, this is what made or broke their season. Because right now they have, let's put it this way. The next 2 weeks they have, right now they have 4 with the Royals. All right, then 3 with Houston. All right, that's a very tough matchup, obviously. 3 with the White Sox, 3 more with the Royals, 3 with the A's, and 3 with the Mets. All right, if that's a stretch where they have to take advantage of those weak opponents, because then you get later in the year, mid-September, because after that Mets series, they have 3 with the Reds, 4 with the Rays. All right, 3 with the Angels, 3 with the Dodgers, 3 with the A's again. But then they finish the season with 10 games all against the Rangers and Astros. All right, so that month of September is going to be very difficult. They also have very few off days in that time. If they don't capitalize on those weak opponents now, then probably they're not making the playoffs. And like Slash said, though, if you asked me a couple weeks ago, I'd probably say their chances were incredibly slim. But right now, I think they have a decent chance. And really, I think I like their chances better than I like Toronto's. I think their pitching staff is miles better. And their offense, when it's going, it's hard to stop. They win a lot of those close games, even though they didn't, you know, maybe they don't win all of them. And I know one-run games, their record is kind of shaky. But I really like Andrés Munoz as their closer. I think Matt Brash has made a lot of great strides so far. So really for me, the Mariners take care of those weaker opponents. I know I'm going to be watching them in Flushing in a few weeks. I think they can make it. And like I said, I think they have a better chance than Toronto. So I think the Mariners make it.
Yeah, so obviously I will probably look at the slightly with rose-tinted glasses, but I'm going to try to be objective with this. And you know what? If I do go a little bit rose tinted, my apologies. I've firmly have been of the belief that pitching is what's going to get you everywhere in baseball. If you have a good starting rotation and a good bullpen, timely hitting will come along with you. That's what happened in 2001 with Seattle when they won 116 regular season games. I think that right now, when you look at their starting rotation, a rotation that includes Luis Castillo, George Kirby, Logan Gilbert, Bryce Miller, Brian Wu, all these guys right now, they have, and then also on top of it, not to mention Emerson Hancock, who has also come up and done well in the little bit of time he had. I mean, his very first start against not a joke opponent went five innings, striking out six. Like, that's not bad at all. I think right now the biggest issue that Seattle's going to have is going to be in their offense. Like, as much as I want Cal Raleigh just to continue hitting home runs at an ungodly rate, he's going to slow down. It's just not – he's already at 20 home runs on the season. But what I do like is that other players are starting to pick it up more. Julio is showing night and day differences than what he was in the first half of the season. Ty France is starting to pick it up a little bit more. The second base situation is finally, quote unquote, solved by having Caballero and Josh Rojas. JP Crawford, when he comes back from his concussion, hopefully he's not out for long, but he has been legitimately one of the best shortstops in all of baseball. Like, if you would have told me that at the beginning of the year, that JP Crawford was going to be one of the league leaders in OPS plus for shortstops, I would have laughed at you. I love JP, but I didn't think he could do it. And he's been amazing so far. What I want to see with this team is that the offense needs to keep at a decent level of production because the pitching staff is going to. The biggest worry that I have about the pitching staff is the bullpen. I like the bullpen. I like you got some good guys in there, but they need to keep at that clip. Munoz has shown that he can be that dominant whiff pitcher, that dominant swing and miss guy. But on top of it, Matt Brash has shown that he's basically a carbon copy of Munoz with potentially even a better slider. Like, it's really fun watching him. And then one guy, I got to give this guy some credit because he has really earned my respect as of late. That's Tyler Saucedo. The Sauce has been coming in a lot of high leverage situations and pitching extremely well. So right now, I'm going to nail it down right here. I think the Mariners are going to make a wild card spot. I don't think they're going to win the division, obviously, but those last games, I want to make sure you mentioned the schedule a second ago, and you're right. They need to take advantage of the rest of the games that you have here in August. But one thing I want to bring up here is September. There are two off days that you have in that entire month, which that's bad, but the biggest stretch of all of that is the final 10 games. And you have one day off in between at the very start of that. If you can then just last 10 games, where then also 7 of those 10 games are at home, that's going to help out your stamina pretty well, I would say. And these are also going to be against the teams that you are going to be facing off with for wildcard spots and division spots.
Yeah. Oh, I will say real quick is that I feel like one thing that might impact those last 10 games are it's going to be a byproduct of that Rangers Astros. Who is ahead in the Rangers Astros race? Because if those two teams are still fighting for the division, then it's going to be very, very difficult to win any of those 10 games. But if one of those teams has wrapped up the division, then maybe they back off a little bit those last 10 games. I'm just saying that.
And just let myself be sad for a second. The Mariners just lost the game against the Royals off of a walk-off. So that's fun. Anyway. Especially since that just happened with Cedric Mullins and the Orioles. Anyway, moving on now because I want to stop talking about that. We're going to go to our last team in the American League race, and that is the Boston Red Sox. As Boston has been a bit interesting, like you said, when they wear yellow, they are... I think they actually finally just finished their first 162 games playing in the yellow jerseys. And I think they only had like 24 losses in that span. So incredible.
That's very virtually impossible. They've worn them 162 times.
Yeah. They're undefeated when wearing them this year, though.
Yeah, I'm not talking about just this. I'm talking about like
Yeah,
since
what,
they
they introduced
started.
them in 2021? I doubt they
Yeah,
win
I know
two
that
times a
they've
year.
lost maybe
I'll look it up.
once.
I saw it on
Pretty sure
scroll
this
social media one
season,
day.
though, they've only lost once wearing
I think they're
those City
undefeated in the
Connects.
yellows.
Yeah, fair enough. So then going back to it, right now there are three games out of the wild card hunt. And guys, do you think that Boston has that chance to make it in? Do you think that they have a better chance than the Mariners do? What are your guys' take for that third spot?
Yes, I do think this is
Incorrect,
a.
but do you argue it?
I think this is a fundamentally less. How do I want to word this? I think of baseball teams with floors and ceilings. I think the a range of outcomes rather. I think the Red Sox have a tighter range of outcomes, and I think more of that range is in the playoffs. With the Mariners and the Blue Jays, I think they have a much wider range of outcomes that I could see the Mariners winning a playoff series or two. I could see the Blue Jays winning a playoff series or two. I think the Red Sox are a little dead on arrival unless they're hosting the series. If they are, then fair enough. But I have more confidence in the Red Sox getting the sixth seed than I do the Mariners. But if the Mariners make the playoffs, I think the Mariners would be the more ferocious team. But Boston rakes, and they just have a lot of guys that have been pretty solid this season, and they've gotten rid of the guys who have not been solid. Christian Arroyo, Kike Hernandez, not on the roster at the moment. Well, Kike's in LA, but I digress. Tristan Casas, master of baseballs. Devers, 124 OPS plus. Yoshida, 120 OPS plus. Duran, 123 OPS plus. Turner, 124 OPS plus. Duvall, 122 OPS plus. Verdugo, 103, but the good defense. And you're just pitching in there. Oh, yeah. And they have this wonderful guy by the name of Trevor Story, who just came back, already has four doubles in five games. That's a huge boost. That's a huge, like, that is a trade acquisition, essentially. You are getting one of the better middle infielders in baseball. You're getting one of the elite hitting shortstops, in theory. Elite hitting shortstops, a solid enough defender. And that's where your one weakness was, that everywhere in the lineup, you're either getting great defense, Connor Wong, Alex Verdugo, or you're getting really, really good hitting, except for the middle infield. And now you're solving that problem with guys like Pablo Reyes, who probably did swing on that one pitch, but that made me some money, so who cares? 104 OPS plus. And then you throw in Trevor Story there. And you look at the pitching staff, and there's good names here. James Paxton has been pretty solid. Chris Sale had a nice outing his last time out. Brian Bayo has been pretty solid. Cutter Crawford's been okay. Kenley Jansen locking it down in the bullpen. Chris Martin, vomit, but he's been awesome this year. I think Boston is a fundamentally better team than Seattle, even if Seattle is a little bit more upside if it comes to a playoff situation.
So, I feel like Boston, like I was saying with Toronto, I feel like they're sort of a streaky team. I mean, look, they looked awful in that three-game series against Toronto. You're thinking, man, that season's got like, their season's over. Like, forget their wild card race. Forget their chances for the playoffs. But then they win five of their next seven, and look, they're back in it. And really, the only team in the AL East that they've struggled against is Tampa Bay. They're 1-7 against the Rays, but they're 5-1 against the Yanks, 7-3 against Toronto. Heck, they're only 3-3 against the division leading Orioles. We talk about schedules. I mean, right now they're coming up on a stretch where they have three against Washington, three against New York, but then they have to play 10 straight games against the Astros and Dodgers. I feel like that's sort of where we're going to see what is this team made of. And then later on, they have a stretch against they play in September. They play 13 straight games against AL East teams, three with Tampa Bay, three with Baltimore, four with New York, and three with Toronto. So they're going to get plenty of action against their divisional opponents. Heck, they finish up with six more against Tampa Bay and Baltimore. So they definitely have their chance to make up ground in this race. They're going to be facing a lot of the teams that are ahead of them. I feel like we've learned in the past, we can never truly count out Boston. I mean, like you said, their offense is strong. Their pitching staff is getting better, especially after getting Sale back. I'm not sold on them passing Seattle, first of all. I think they can pass Toronto. I think Boston, though, just finishes on the outside looking in. It's going to be very, very close, though.
Yeah, and, well, first of all, I'm going to fully disagree saying that Boston's a better team. But that's me, and that's my own philosophy at that point. But when I look at that, when I look at this team, the first thing that's going to come to my mind is I look at the schedule. Take a look at the strength that they have to go through, and you said it yourself, Mac, that they have a brutal September right now. You have three games against Kansas City, and then everything gets trouble. Three games against Tampa Bay in Tampa Bay. Three against Baltimore in Boston in Boston. And then you have six games away from home against very strong teams in Toronto and Texas. And then you have, you know, five games at home. Good on you. But they're against the White Sox and then Tampa Bay. And then you finish off with four games on the road against Baltimore. And honestly, if it comes down to those final four games, I don't like Boston in that because they're not going to be at home. So on that point right now, I think they aren't going to be able to pass Seattle, but it's going to be a good race to watch. With that being said, now let's move on now to the National League side. Get your thoughts here on what you think the AL wildcard will look come October. Let us know on Twitter at LAR_baseball here. Make sure you go follow us on social media. Go tag us. We may tag you back. Maybe a fun time. But let's move over now to the National League side of things, where as we take a look at the National League side, it looks weird. I'm going to be honest. It looks weird. Because there's no team that's a clear front runner, even for the number one seed. Like, the number one seed right now is Philadelphia, and they're only 2.5 out front, where compared to the American League side of things, it was, you know, Tampa Bay at 5 games out in front. So we're going to start out here talking about Philadelphia right now. So, gentlemen, what do you have to say about this Philadelphia team right now, a 65-54 record?
To me, they're the NL version of the Astros. This is a pretty clear playoff team. They are above the line. That line may waver, you know, that's going to move up and down, but I think Philly will be safely above that line. They just hit too much. You're going to get the production from Harper and Castellanos and Schwarber, Alec Boehm, JT. Like, they're all productive hitters, and even the unproductive hitter, aka Trey Turner, is Trey Turner, and I'm going to bet on the talent there. I'm going to bet on the base running acumen. I'm going to bet on the guy who's led the league in hits, led the league in batting average, stuff like that. I'll bet on that guy. And the pitching staff, you know, you have Wheeler and you have Nola working deep into games. Taiwan Walker has been okay. Ranger Suarez has been okay. Christopher Sanchez has been pretty good. Then back end, you have Kimbrel and Strom, and the rest of it is a little whack, I'll say. But I think this is a clear playoff team.
I'm going to agree. I mean, if you asked me maybe back on Memorial Day or after the Mets swept them at the end of May, I probably would have said, I don't know. I don't know about the Phillies this year, but they're 40-24 since June 1st, actually. So they've been playing like the team we saw make it all the way to the World Series last year. So I think the Phillies are definitely a playoff team. I think of the teams currently in the race, I think they're the surefire bet to make it. The bullpen is my one concern. Their pitching honestly hasn't been great this year. I feel like Wheeler and Nola haven't lived up to their expectations, but, you know, like you said, Walker's been solid. Ranger Suarez has been all right. I think their offense also hasn't, you know, fully come around. Like you said, Trey Turner hasn't been great this year. Kyle Schwarber is drawing walks, but he's hitting below the Mendoza line. So I think the Phillies are a playoff team. Also, I don't know if this is a team you want to face, because if they do round into form, they're going to be incredibly difficult to defeat.
I'm probably going to get some flack for saying this, but I'm not impressed by the National League wildcard spots right now. I think just the American League is a little bit more intense.
Yeah, it's a lot of up and down in there.
Yeah, just a little bit. So, but one thing I'll bring up here, then, because you guys both talked about the players on this one, I'm going to bring up the schedule here for the Phillies, and it looks pretty good for them for what they've got so far right now. At this point right now, they have a series against Toronto coming up away, which, you know, that's probably going to be a bit difficult. But then you've got Washington for three away, and then you get San Francisco at home, which that's going to be Also, pretty interesting considering that San Francisco is another team we're going to talk about. That's going to be an important series, and you get it at home. Then, excuse me. Then you have, as part of a pretty long road homestand, you then have St. Louis and the Angels at home, who both have been faltering right now. Milwaukee and San Diego away is going to be a bit tough. But then you also get Miami and Atlanta at home, which four games, by the way, against Atlanta as a doubleheader on Monday the 11th. But then you have...
Go ahead and bet Nick Castellanos did a home run that day.
Bro, why do you have to bring that up right now, man? I got to watch. Why you got to do this? No,
it's fine. Because it's against the Braves.
All right, Splash. Anyway, because then you got St. Louis and Atlanta. That Atlanta series is going to be away. That is going to be tough. But then you have the Mets, Pittsburgh, and the Mets again. So right now, the schedule's looking pretty good, I would say. And at this point right now, when you already have a 2.5-game lead on the wild card slot, hey, I think you're in the driver's seat right now. Right now, after that, let's move on to our next team that we are going to be talking about here. And I mentioned that just a moment ago. That's San Francisco Giants. Here, as the Giants right now, a record of 63-55. One game buffer currently on the wild card. And do any of you guys get feelings that this just isn't supposed to be? I don't know. I get this odd feeling with this team that something's going to just drastically change.
Yeah, the lineup here is not great. They only have one everyday player with an OPS plus above 110. That's Lamont Wade at 123. I will say that doesn't count Wilmer Flores, who has been one of the best hitters in baseball for some reason. He's hitting 300. He's slugging 535 as a 142 OPS plus. But the usual suspects, Brandon Crawford's been horrendous. JD Davis is barely above average. Michael Conforto is barely above average. Jock Peterson's barely above average. I will give credit, Patrick Bailey, who's been an average hitter, has been a standout fielder. Also, Blake Sable, shout out to the rookie catchers. But the strength of this team is the pitching. And in the American League, the sort of foil to the sort of like comparison I would make is Seattle. And while Seattle, I think the lineup shakiness worries me, I will say the Giants have, they made it there in 2021, and they have the lockdown at the end of the bullpen and Camilo Duvall. Both Rogers brothers have been excellent this season. Scott Alexander has been all right, but the two-headed monster at the top of the rotation, Logan Webb, Alex Cobb, they've both been terrific this season. Cobb's ERA has inflated a little bit in the last month or so, but either way, Webb's been awesome. He's a guy that could mess around and win the Cy Young if he has a really good last 6 weeks or so of the season. So San Francisco to me is a team that last week of the season is going to be really telling. I don't think they're going to pull away, and I also don't think they're going to fall out, but they're going to be a team that's within two games, I would say, September 28th.
You know, the thing is, the NL wildcard race is just so confusing, in my opinion, because I don't know how I feel about the Giants, because they won 10 games in a row in June. They went 18-8 that month. They went 17-12 in May, but they've only gone 17-19 since July 1st, which I feel like most any other year, you go 17-19 stretch, that's pretty mediocre. It's honestly subpar, and you don't expect them to beat wild card race after that. I mean, heck, they just recently lost four in a row to the Angels and the Rangers. But right now, they're in a stretch where they have to face the Rays, the Braves, the Phillies, the Braves again, and then the Reds. So those are all contenders right now. And, you know, the Phillies and the Reds, those might be the games where you make headway on the Phillies and you try to bury the Reds. And then they have three more with the Cubs at the beginning of September, right around Labor Day. So there are a lot of big games coming up for this team. I really don't know what to expect from them, because like I said, I feel like this is a team that's been all right. You know, Wilmer Flores has been fantastic lately. Lamont Wade Jr.'s had a good year. The bullpen's been really good. I don't know. I feel like most years this would not be a team that has what it takes to make the playoffs. But considering how weak the National League is this year, I do think they make it.
Yeah, I think it feels weird to say that they're going to make it, considering the fact of how weak the National League is this year and the fact of how weak the team itself is. Because right now, like, there's not too many real strong points in this team except for the bullpen. The bullpen has definitely been their strength. With Rogers brothers and Duvall, I mean, come on. Those are three guys that you want in your bullpen. So overall right now, I'm actually going to say with this, it's going to be really close. It's going to come down to the final games here for the Giants because on top of it, right, when you look at the other teams right now, I think that the other teams that are coming up that are behind them in the race are better teams overall than them. But where the Giants succeed is that they are really well coached and they are able to go through scenarios really well and execute exceptionally well. So it's going to be interesting, and there we go, I could talk. Interesting to see what they do going forward. Let's move on now to Miami, currently holding the third wild card slot. And this is another team that I think at the beginning of the year we thought we're going to probably be doing a little bit better, then fell off, and then are coming back again. Like, for Miami right now, what do we think about that? They've made a trade, acquired Josh Bell, who's done pretty well for themselves, and they've gotten even better by getting rid of Gene Segura. Yeah, I will always have a little bit of saltiness on that one. Thank you for asking. But what do you guys think about Miami? Are they for real right now? Is their pitching staff for real? Is their offense good enough to carry them?
I really don't know how to feel about the Marlins. You know, if you told me before the season that in middle of August, the Miami Marlins would be fighting for a playoff spot, I would have laughed in your face because I thought in that NL East, there was no way the Marlins contended. But, I mean, they're another team, though, like the Giants. They had a huge month of June. They went 19-8 in June. But since then, they've only gone 15-22. Granted, their offense definitely got a boost by getting Josh Bell and Jake Berger. But you know, other than Luis Arraez, really, there isn't like a real standout on this roster. Like Sandy Alcantara has taken a massive step back after winning the Cy Young last year. Their bullpen really, it's like all right. You wonder how they're so good in one-run games. They're 27-10 in one-run games. You're wondering how the heck are they doing that with a middle-of-the-pack bullpen? I mean, they picked up David Robertson, but he hasn't really been that good ever since they picked him up. So, I honestly don't see the Marlins continuing with this luck. I mean, their Pythagorean win-loss is 55-64. I think the Marlins missed the playoffs. They took a big step forward this year. I just don't think they really have enough in them to go that extra mile.
Yeah, I agree. This is a 2024 team. You know, Arraez is good. Soler, good. Actually, the outfield itself is pretty good. The corner infielders that you add, Bell, you add Berger, pretty solid. Fortes is good behind the plate. The pitching staff is troublesome. Even though I like what, I mean, Sandy was Sandy last year. I like what Luzardo does. I like what Braxton Garrett does, although I benched him in fantasy today. You like Yuri Perez. The problem is they're 25-25-20. I'm not exactly trusting them to win games in late August and September. And this bullpen is just not very good. AJ Puck has been largely their closer. Now you can slide David Robertson into that role, but he's been below average. Oscar Brazoban has been right around league average. And then your Tanner Scott, Stephen Okerts, Andrew Nardis, do you trust them to get three outs in the eighth inning against good teams? I don't think so. As they have been good players this season, but this is 2022 Minnesota Vikings to me that if they make the playoffs, they're getting whacked, I think, pretty handily. So I'm out on Miami.
Yeah, I'm also out on Miami for this one. I think that the other two teams that we're going to talk about here, we're going to consolidate them a little bit, but are better than the Marlins are right now. Also, looking at the schedule right now, I think that they have actually a fairly similar schedule to the Phillies that we talked about, which makes sense, division. But I don't know, something about it seems a little bit more intimidating. A little bit more intimidating for the Marlins, especially considering that they don't have that buffer and the team just doesn't seem as good. I would not be mad if they made a wild card spot. I think they could deserve it. But I just looking at the other two teams that we're going to talk about here, they're not impressing near as much as I think they could be. And they really have a lot to go on, especially considering that, just talking about right now, the Cubs and the Reds, have been on fire as of late. So they're going to have a little bit more work to do in order to try and get that third wild card spot. So I already spoiled it right now, but the last two teams here that we have to talk about are the Cubs and the Reds. So, gentlemen, I'm going to make this one real simple here. Which one of these, since we all kind of agree that the Marlins probably aren't going to get that third wild card spot, which one of these two teams takes the other wild card spot?
I'm going to say I'm taking Philly at one, Cubs two, and I think the Giants and Reds, it comes down to the final weekend of the season. You know, with the Cubs, you have one of the best pitchers in baseball this year in Justin Steele. The rest of the rotation has been okay. I think that's probably the best way to describe it. Like, Drew Smiley's had a couple okay starts here and there. Jameson Taillon, same thing. Kyle Hendricks is generally solid. Marcus Stroman's on the IL after getting lit up a couple times. But I do want to talk about Adbert Alzolay, who's transitioned from being a starter to being a closer, and he's been excellent. 16 saves on the season and a 2.37 ERA. Has only blown one save. But, you know, you go look at our MLB mentions that we posted after this podcast went up, but before you see it, but after we record it, all three of our most improved players are Cubs: Justin Steele, Jamer Candelario, asterisk there, and Cody Bellinger. So you're getting a lot of production from sort of unknown places here. Bellinger's been excellent. Christopher Morel hits a bunch of home runs. Mike Tauchman's been very good. Ian Happ's all right. Patrick Wisdom strikes out a lot, but he's all right. Dansby Swanson plays elite, elite defense. Yan Gomes has been okay behind the dish. So I think Chicago is probably the best bet to be second behind Philadelphia, while the Reds are a little on the young side and the Giants are a little on the not very good at baseball side.
Yeah, so... The Reds, unfortunately, have gone 3-9 in August. So that's, you know, obviously it's been a tough month for them. I feel like getting swept by the Cubs and Nationals to begin the month was not great. And then losing 2-3 to Marlins also, that's, you know, another damper on your schedule. They have their opportunity. I mean, after their 4-game series with the Cubs, after their 3-game series with the Mariners, they finished September with games all against teams with losing records: Cardinals, Tigers, Mets, other than the Twins, I guess, but Cards, Tigers, Mets, Pirates, Guardians, Cardinals again. So they definitely have their opportunities. The Cubs, I mean, they have their quote unquote get fat part of the schedule right now, which is White Sox, Royals, Tigers, Pirates. And then they have the Brewers and the Reds. Brewers, Reds, Giants, that's a stretch that I think will make or break their season. You know, if you can't take advantage against your divisional opponents, I don't see what you're going – I don't know how you do it. You know, I don't know how you make the playoffs. But the team, you know, I kind of have to ride the hot hand here, though. I think the Cubs have played better. And unfortunately, I think they're a little more well-seasoned when you look at their roster with guys like Bellinger and Swanson and Stroman, guys who have been there before. I think the Reds are a bit, you know, they're a year ahead of schedule. So give me the Cubs taking that final wild card spot. I think the Reds, talk about them next year, they'll definitely be a threat.
Yeah, no, I think the Reds are more well-suited for 2024 and beyond. This year, I'm actually going to something I don't normally do. Fully agree with Splash here. I think that right now the Cubs are going to take the second spot. Looking at their schedule specifically right now, their schedule's not that strong for the Cubs, and they're already playing well hot right now. I mean, from the time of this podcast being recorded, let me read off the rest of their series for you. Ready? White Sox, KC, Detroit, Pittsburgh, Milwaukee, Cincinnati, San Francisco, Arizona, Colorado, Arizona, Pittsburgh, Colorado, Atlanta, Milwaukee. Like, there's definitely some, you know, like, moments there. But for a team that's already riding hot, they have not that strong of a schedule. And when you have players, again, like Bellinger, who, again, actually just got MLB The Show card, Player of the Month, the Lightning card. But you have guys that have been doing exceptionally well. And again, like Justin Steele has been arguably one of the best pitchers in all of baseball. So right now, I think that the Cubs are well-suited. And while I think the Giants are going to make a wild card spot, I think they're going to do it through their coaching. So they're going to make that third spot. But the Cubs are going to take the second one, as they're the only one game back of that third spot. So a lot can happen in a very, very short amount of time. And also, Splash, I want to make sure I say that was not a slight at you. I just know that we disagree on a lot of things.
Hey, that makes a better podcast, I think.
Of course it does, whenever I tell you that you're wrong on things. Anyway, let's get on.
You're the one that thinks navy and black go together. So
they do, 100% they do.
Not with your
Mozart. I don't know about that.
They work infinitely well. But regardless, now we're going to move on to our next segment here. As now that we're done talking about the wild card races, it's time for trivia. And I will now regrettably hand it right back here to Splash.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, today we are learning how to count all the way to two. Congratulations. Wow. I can't believe it. I've been stuck on one for the longest time, but today we're going to learn how to count to two. So today we have a two-tier layer of trivia. Layer one, you're playing for advantage. It's like a reward. Layer two, we got the meat and potatoes, if you will. So round one, it's a guessing game. Mac versus Alex. The closest to the pin gets the advantage for trivia. So here we go.
All right.
On my flight back home Saturday morning, I sat in my seat for 75 minutes on the airplane and just listed off as many baseball players as I could list in 75 minutes. I would like you to direct message me on Zoom, hidden message just me. Guess how many players I named in 75 minutes on my flight. Closest gets the advantage for trivia.
Question for this. Yes. Without going over, or is going over okay?
Going over is perfectly fine.
Okay. I was about to put one. But
no. I can say I named a lot more than one. Mac, your answer is submitted. Alex, your answer is submitted. Ironically, if you added them together, you're still not close. I named 753 players.
Wow.
Majewski, why would you do this to yourself?
I needed a first prong to the trivia. So Mac is closer. He guessed 350 to Alex's 242. So we are going to go with Mac. You get the advantage. Your advantage today is you're a Mets fan. And the Mets played three wild card games last year, while the Mariners only played two. The trivia today, you are to name players who recorded a hit in the 2022 wild card series.
For all the teams?
Yes, for all the teams. You will get bonus points if they have more than one hit. So both of you will get five guesses.
I see what you're doing.
Yes, you get five guesses. Ah, darn it. Ozzie Albies is on the IL now. Okay. Anyways, you get five guesses. The most hits your five players have total. Whoever gets the most hits from their five players wins. If you get one wrong, I mean, it's just a zero, so you don't gain any ground. You don't lose any ground. Players go from zero hits to four hits. So, Mac, you have the advantage, and you get to choose the first player.
All right, I'll do one that absolutely tore me apart, or tore the Mets apart. Trent Grisham.
For four. Alex.
All right, well, you're going to do one that tore your Mets apart. I'm going to do one that tore my Mariners apart, and now is a Mariner. That's Teoscar Hernandez.
Teoscar Hernandez for two.
Oh, I thought you got more than that. Oh, well.
Mac.
I'd go with another one who's a thorn in the side, Jerickson Profar.
For four, Alex.
Trying to remember players that got hits in those games.
That would be good.
Kyle Raleigh? I think he got multiple
for
hits.
For four?
Yeah, let's go.
Mac.
Are we just doing the wild card, like, in general, like, not
yes.
just our okay.
No, not just your teams, not just your series. You can do Cleveland, Tampa. You can do other Phillies, Cardinals, whatever.
Okay, I forget how many this guy got, but Adam Frazier,
for four.
What, he had four?
Alex.
Oh, yeah. he was giving my next guess. Dang it. Okay. Let's see. I'm going to say Let's say Julio.
Julio for one.
Okay, yeah.
Matt.
I thought he got more parts part of that rally.
All right. I'll go with Brandon Nimmo.
For four.
Let's go.
What, how many
and
did Nimmo
Alex,
have?
You get two more guesses.
How many did Nimmo have?
Four.
Okay, I'll get real. That was actually my next guess. Okay, now I'm just trying to remember other teams I've played in wild card games. I'm trying to remember if that was a wild card. I think it was a wild card. Oscar Gonzalez?
Mr. SpongeBob Man for three.
Let's go!
Mac, your final player.
Oh, man, now I'm trying to remember. Now I'm trying to remember the teams that played. I think this guy, I don't know how many he got, actually, but Eduardo Escobar.
Escobar for three.
I think that seals it.
Alex.
What's, because how many has he beaten him now by?
He has 19 out of 20 possible points.
What?
Alex,
what now?
Wow. The maximum you could get on a player was four. He was four at four, 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 and three. Alex, you are at a whopping 10.
I'm at 10. Yeah, so I had no chance of winning, so I'm just going to say a fun name that makes me happy, and it's Ty France. I don't care. I know I've
Ty
lost.
France for two.
Yeah.
So, Mac, you grabbed the W 19-12, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
You kicked me on
the
that one.
Other players with four hits: Nola, Soto, Suarez, three hits. Alonso, Bell, Chapman, Jansen, Kirk, Machado.
I Six honestly was thinking
players
about
had one hit.
I was thinking I was going to say Soto at some point, but I was like, wait a minute. Like, did Soto do well in that series? But yeah.
The entire Padres team did pretty well.
Yeah, I unfortunately was at the elimination game, so I know too much about that series.
That's fair.
Oof.
Understandable.
So
all
congratulations,
right.
Mac. Alex, maybe we'll play your trivia another day.
We'll find out. Maybe I can actually feel like I know something. Anyway, back to it here. Thank you so much, Slash, for playing that together. That was a lot of fun. But now we're going to end our podcast, as we like to end every podcast here with the moment to ourselves. We take a moment just to say really anything that's on our mind. Does not have to be baseball related, but it absolutely can. We a moment, a minute, just to say whatever we want without being interrupted. Gentlemen, who would like to go first today? Splash, you are
yes.
going to go first. All right,
I do have a
go.
Question. Please pick a number between 1 and 5.
Four.
Okay, four. All right. You
all right,
can
here
begin
we go.
My time.
Your time begins in 3, 2, 1, begin.
I'm really bad at opening plastic packaging. Here we go. Bum-ba-da-dum. Okay. Part two of naming baseball players. Ozzie Smith, Mike Socha, Jose De Leon. De Leon. Rafael Ramirez, Wally Joyner, Terry Harper, Craig Worthington, Jeff Juden, Steve Rosenberg, Tom Telman. I paid I think $1 for those cards yesterday, Saturday. So congratulations to those guys. You have been immortalized in baseball cards that I now own.
All right, you had about 30 seconds left to go, but all right, cool, fair enough, understandable.
Do I need to continue my Padres rant?
I'm cutting you off there because I know you're going to want to go more than 30 seconds for your Padres rant. All right, Mac, would you like to go next or do you want me to go next?
I'm still thinking, so you can go.
Yeah, I'll go next. So here we go. 3, 2, 1, begin. Lately, I've been having to do a lot of work lately, and I understand, like, you know, that's just part of growing up, part of adulting, just realizing you just don't have near as much time anymore. But it really gets you down. I'll be real with you, because I've been realizing that how far back I've not been able to play like games. I haven't been able to do other, like, projects I want to be doing. Like, I feel bad because, like, Mac will ask me, like, hey, you want to get a game and we'll do the show in, and I would love to, but I'm busy. And then I thought about it. I actually loaded into the game for like a minute just to like get like a free pack or something, and I realized I had not been on the game in 2 weeks. And there's a lot of stuff that happens at that time, and you know what, I understand that that's just something you got, that's part of adulting. Is it fun? Absolutely not, but sometimes it needs to be done. Though I do wish, you know, obviously, like everyone else, I wish there were more hours in the day just to do what you needed to do. All right, so that was my minute. Mac, are you ready to go?
Yes, sir.
All right, your time begins in 3, 2, 1, go.
So, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I'm going to a Mets-Pirates game on Wednesday, and I'll be honest, it's been pretty difficult to watch the Mets lately. You know, they sold off all their players. They have been doing a lot of losing, and I just want if there's something out there. I know, like, half the fan base wants this team to tank, and I understand that, you know, there's the whole thing about draft odds right now with the lottery, but I feel like, you know, I'm in that tough situation where, like, on one hand, I'm like, yeah, I would like a better draft pick, but I feel like for integrity's sake, I do want the team to win still. That's the tough part is that 4-game series against Atlanta, those first 3 games, I tweeted this, doesn't make it any less humiliating to get absolutely destroyed by your arch rival 3 straight games. They lost by a combined score of 34-3 those first 3 games. So I just want to go out there and say it that even if your team it might be toast, that doesn't mean you shouldn't want them to go out and try to win every single game. So winning is fun, losing isn't. So yeah, enjoy it.
As a Mariner fan, I completely understand.
Exactly.
Mac, while you were reading or while you were talking, I think Nicky Lopez just got 2 more hits.
Yeah, he probably did, honestly.
Guys, look, I don't know what you're talking about. Nicky Lopez is a figment of your imagination. He isn't real. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Anyway, but that's our show for today. Thank you so much to everyone for tuning in. You go follow me on Twitter at TheSportsGuy242. Make sure you go follow Mac on Twitter at Matthias_A_K, and go follow Splash on Twitter at MrSplashman19, and then go follow the Losses Above Replacement Twitter at LAR_baseball. But from all of us here at Losses Above Replacement, I want to thank you all for listening. Have a great rest of your night. Stay safe, and hope to see you all real soon. Thank you.